Quite a few years ago, I went on a trip to visit a longtime friend of mine who has what many people call the it factor. Having first met her in the business world, I had always known she could have charmed even Ebenezer Scrooge, given the opportunity. But when she took me to the airport, I experienced the effect of her magnetic presence in a way that took even me by surprise. Being the gracious host that she was, she insisted on waiting in the check-in line with me rather than just dropping me off at the curb. My departure time was early in the morning, so she had on sweats and was wearing no makeup at all. I tell you this because it's important. As we stood there chatting in line, two guys near us joined our conversation. Before I knew it, they were offering both of us some of their points to upgrade to first class. Apparently, they were corporate road warriors and had so many points they could never hope to use them all. My friend smiled, thanked them, and then informed them that she was not traveling today. I smiled at them and shrugged. Rather than confirming that their interest solely lied in meeting her, they awkwardly followed through on their offer and conferred the necessary points to me anyway. Once my friend left me at security, they didn't say another word to me the rest of the trip. Now, I bet you're thinking that she must be gorgeous. Then prepare yourself to be as baffled as I was with the strength of her it factor. Her charming appeal to virtually everyone she encounters, men, women, kids, pets, I'm not kidding, doesn't really have to do with any one specific characteristic. After much pondering the airport incident, I've come to the conclusion that the it of my friend's seemingly universal appeal is the magical combination of what she possesses, not a standalone trait or capability. She has just enough physical appeal to elicit a pleasurable reaction when you see her, but she is not so beautiful that anyone would feel intimidated or jealous. She's been successful enough to wear trendy sweats to the airport that look like they came from the Athleta catalog and not the Walmart bargain bin. And she's a fantastic listener with a sparkling wit. Oh, and did I mention that she's a savvy entrepreneur? If I stopped there with my description of her, you might conclude that she sounds perfect and too good to be true. But here's what I came to realize. It's her flaws and weaknesses and how she's handled them that really gives her that special spark. The hard experiences of her life have shaped her in a way that others are drawn to her like moths to a flame. I know enough about what she's been through and how hard she's worked, the rejection she's been dealt, the heartbreaks she's endured, and the disappointment she's experienced to realize that hardship has tenderized a person who would otherwise likely be perceived as arrogant, intimidating, and unapproachable. In a word, my friend's combination of incredible qualities is powerful because of the most important trait of all, humility. To embody all that she does with humility makes her simply enchanting. During the Advent season, many people have only a superficial understanding of one of the most pivotal characters in the Christmas story, Mary. In the centuries and millennia that passed after the birth of Jesus, she has been elevated and revered to the point where most people forget or never realize who she really was. We often overlook her humanity, and it is such a mistake because, like my friend, it is Mary's weaknesses, including the dire circumstances into which she was born, that truly make her story remarkable and a lesson for us all. We certainly don't know if Mary had the it factor, but it is highly unlikely because not many of the biblical heroes God raised up and used for his glory had it either. In fact, many of them were not respected, accepted, or even noticed. Mary wasn't some superhuman with angelic powers or a halo. She probably wasn't the most beautiful girl in town, and she certainly didn't come from a wealthy family. She was betrothed to a common carpenter and lived in a place with a bad reputation. And in that time period and culture, women were not offered any formal education. Any knowledge or skills they gleaned would be only through the instruction of their parents. But Mary had the most important ingredient for God to use her to usher in the greatest event in human history, humility. Like yeast added to dough, humility is the ingredient that triggers spiritual greatness for God. All the raw ingredients can be inside a person, but without humility, even the best combination of traits will fall short of God's plan. We can glean the greatest insight into Mary's true nature in her exchange with the angel and subsequent reaction in Luke 1:26 through 56. Due to the length of the passage, I won't include it here, but I encourage you to stop and ask God to open your heart as you read it. Keep in mind that the news the angel gave Mary was practically a death sentence. In that era, a woman becoming pregnant outside of marriage could cause the Jewish leaders to stone her. Put yourself in her shoes and imagine an angel telling you that God has favored you, and as a result, something will soon happen to you that normally would mean death. Yet Mary's reaction in verse 38 was, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She was humble enough to care more for God's desires than her own. And that level of humility always triggers something else remarkable, an unwavering, odds-defying sense of trust. She was humble enough to believe that God would do what he said he would do and that she did not need to worry about her circumstances or try to control the situation by concealing the coming miracle. She was not ashamed of what it was likely to be perceived as the most shameful thing that could ever happen to her. The approval of her heavenly Father was more important than the approval of her parents because Mary found her self-worth and identity in God, not in her own capabilities. The angel told her in verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God," and she simply believed it. After visiting her cousin Elizabeth, who was also miraculously pregnant with John the Baptist, Mary was overwhelmed with wonderment for God's love, presence, and unfolding plan. The rest of the passage contains her joyful song of thanksgiving back to God. Just as Mary was preparing her heart for the coming Christ child, her response is the perfect model for us to prepare in the same way this Christmas season. In just 10 verses, Mary's words outline the beautiful outcome of a humbled heart submitted to God's glorious power. In her description, we witness the incredible splendor of what God can do with a life joyfully yielded to him. Finding the time to be still with God during this time of the year is difficult. But if you want to encounter God in fresh ways during the holidays, I invite you to carve out a few moments to sit at the manger in Bethlehem. If you can't do it now, try the following in your next quiet time with God. Envision that rough bed of straw on a cold cave floor. Try to feel the scratchiness as it pokes through the fabric of your clothes, reminding you of the real bed you can't afford. Imagine the place not only where the Christ child laid his head, but also where Mary's surrender to God brought forth the salvation of the world. What the angel foretold was rife with difficulty from beginning to end. Now read Mary's response to God in Luke and then listen to her ballad, brought to life by Christy Knuckles in her beautiful rendition of the song Magnificat. I've provided a link right on the blog page for you to listen to this song. The words are almost verbatim from Scripture. As you sit there on the scratchy hay, and adore the one who came to give you life forever. Sing it back to him in your heart. Make Mary's words your own and mean them. Then wait in the stillness for your Savior to come. Not unlike the rough, inhospitable hay, our hearts were destined to contain a king. We may not have the it factor, nor the money for a warm bed in a fancy inn, but if we have humility, our Savior will show up and do exactly as the angel said. The impossible will become possible as he uses us for his glory and changes the world again and again.